Well, we're having trouble with the music. I guess we're not going to have any music today. That's all right. We don't need it anyway. This is Vocal Profiling Live on VBS Radio. I'm Sherry Edwards, your host for the next hour. I'm here along with Beth Hughes, and we're going to talk about, what's queued up? I don't know. We'll get to that in a minute. We're going to talk about Beth's first time today. We're going to talk about Roger Clemens that we promised you from last week. We're going to talk a little bit about Roland Burris, a little bit more, if we have time, about Christian Bale, and a lot of other wonderful and assorted things we've been doing along the week. We are coming to you, this comes from a listener asking us, you know, we see you there in the studio, but where are you really? We're located in southern Ohio, in the middle of nowhere. I often tell people this is nowhere, Ohio. We're 84 miles south of Columbus, 136 miles east of Cincinnati. Are we east of Cincinnati?
Yeah.
I don't know, east and west. I don't know what day it is. I don't know. I left from my right. It's just been one of those weeks. So this is us from the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health. And we've gotten a lot of mail this week that we're going to talk about. We are live streaming. Here is the address. And I tried to get these to be a yellow color. But some reason, if you put www in front of something or .com behind it, it turns this pink so nobody can see it. Now, if anybody out there knows how to get us or help us change these to a more readable color on film, we'll do it, so I'll read it to you. www.u, just the letter U, stream.tv/channel-sound-health-hour, like the time of day. Or we've put a lot of things, Ben here behind the camera, chops up this whole hour and puts it on YouTube, and producer Cassie over here in the corner helps him do that. You help him choose, Cassie?
Not really.
He just does his own thing?
It's up to Ben.
Okay.
Ben's the man.
www.youtube.com/soundhealth. Now, there's a lot of other things on there about sound health. I don't know if there's a better way for them to delineate and see this, but you can also go to VBS Radio, that's Boy Boy Sam, VBSRadio.com. We're in Station 2 on Thursday nights. Mm-hmm. We're on Station 1 on Sunday nights if you want to join us then. But we are live streaming, and one of the things that people suggest is that you watch it on Ustream, but you listen on VBS. Is that the way it is, Cassie? Okay. Our director says yes. Okay, this is what's on the lineup for tonight, mailbag and chat, best first time. Roger Clemens, is he guilty of steroid use? And Burris outed. We know what's going on there. What do we do here on Vocal Profiling Live? Well, this is a show that we have decided to build a community. A community of people who begin to know themselves. So we have created a computer program called NanoVoice, and it does an evaluation of the frequencies of your voice, and we share that with you this hour, things that are going on for the week. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when we get to things, it's outdated. You know, sometimes people have written in and said, can you tell us whether so-and-so is really pregnant? You know, by the time we get to it, the baby will be delivered.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is one we did on Bush's farewell speech, and we used the notes of the musical scale, C, D, E, F, G, A, B. We use colors. We're going to tell you what this is all about. We also invite you to call in with comments or to call in to have your vocal print done. The number is 740-698-0670. That's the direct line into our studio. They also could call bbsradio.com. But what will happen on the air is that we'll put up this computer program and you'll get to see what's happening. We have a comment from one of the readers that we did. Listeners. Why do I keep saying that? This is from Jeannie. I think Jeannie was one of the people that we did last week.
Mm-hmm.
Said, just got my report. Did not see it before today. At first glance, pretty much on target. What a magnificent tool this is. I'm going to talk about the nano class, too. But give us a call if you have a comment about what we're doing. There's the number to call, 740-698-0670. Be sure not to be calling us on a cell phone. And don't be asking millions of listeners to wait while you find a pencil and write something down. Go to the archives and listen to the show, bbsradio.com, and listen to the archives, and you can hear what we said about you. And if you're shy, then give somebody else's name, somebody you don't like, and ask all kinds of questions. We're going to be dealing with the nano voice, which is the child of the N-voice, the N-voice program. We've been asked to explain some of these things. And our regular listeners are probably tired of hearing us explain these, but we have a lot of new listeners all the time. So nano means little, 1/1,000,000,000. So 1/1,000,000,000th of a peak into your voice. How does that happen? Your voice contains information about your personality, about your genes, about your proteins, about your nutrition, and we've been able to decode that through yours. I think we could do it from eyelashes if we have the code.
Hmm.
You're not very talkative tonight, Ben.
I know.
I'm waiting for my moment.
Talk about your first time, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm excited that that topic excites me.
Should we tell your best
and dork?
Should we tell you Beth's engaged?
Yeah, I'm not talking about him either. Okay, that's
bad. We are doing all of this because we know that whoever controls health controls the people. And we want to take that concept and give it back to you, the idea of self-health. Now, last night we had a great time from 6 to 8. Eastern Time, we had a 2-hour nano class. It was vocal profiling in action. And it really should have been entitled not what your voice can reveal about you, but how you can use this to look at other people's voices. This is from InnerSense Software and our sponsor, the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology. So not only does it allow you to talk about events in your life and bring out what's real for you, because if it's real, if it's the stuff that will balance you, your voice will become balanced. Your voice becomes very harmonic. And so you can look at that. Do I want to go with that partner or maybe that partner or maybe that job? And this vocal print will tell you. We had this great time, and it's all based on this idea, you know, green buildings, green earth, you know, from infinity. We're going to start this concept of the body green.
I like that.
Supporting health and wellness through the body's own natural resources to create sustainable self-health. We've been writing about self-health for years, and we knew what was going on with that, that you could heal yourself, you could do it with intention and that kind of thing. Take your own nutrients. Don't eat the wrong things for you. Self-health, self-responsibility. And we wanted to take that further. We wanted to provide that to the community and to people who had like minds. And I think the people are ready to do that. I can see some of the evidence of it.
Yeah, and you had a huge turnout for the class last night. So.
Absolutely. We had to cut it off.
Yeah.
Actually, we had to cut the class in two. We had 80-some people, and so we did two classes, one on Sunday and then the one last night. But this idea of the body green, and it's the beginning class. You probably can't see this. I'll do better next week. But here's the little teeny nano course that you guys took last night. it's going to go from that downloadable file into an online, into an invoice, which is the mama of NanoVoice. Where NanoVoice gives you 5 or 6 sentences that we've been sharing here, invoice gives you pages and pages of information. Then a lot of satellite courses about the immune system. We're working on connective tissue right now. And we're going to be working on a really neat project we're going to talk about in a minute. And then the professional course. And you got to see your first professional evaluation from beginning to end. This was her first time.
Yes. And that's what she's referring to for you dirty-minded people out there.
Tell us about your first time, Beth.
Well, I actually got to see our director, who has been having hip problems. He has hip replacement. And hard time walking. And
actually,
I got
a limp.
A limp. A, you know, very significant noticeable limp. Sorry, Ben. So, he
Ben's
came
okay
in.
Behind the camera here.
Yeah, he came in last night. And I got to video record while he got his tone trials. And it was amazing to see the difference, because to see Ben walk, I mean, you can tell he has problems. And by the end of, gosh, it wasn't an hour we were in there, and, I mean, it just took minutes for the tones to completely, it was like he was walking normal. It was just insane. And he was comfortable,
insane.
And he was more mobile. It was. It's not something you expect in an amount of time like this without something, I don't know, like major drugs or, you know. I mean, honestly.
You were kind of taken aback?
I was. It was amazing to watch, because I normally get to hear the stories that happen in the lab and in the clinic, but I don't see them except when I review client profiles. But I was actually there to witness this one.
I noticed that when Ben was walking when he first came in, his shoulders were back, because he really didn't want to put weight on his hip.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we gave him the sound, and by the second or third sound that we gave him,
mm-hmm.
because we take your vocal print, we run it through our little magic program, and the computer tells us what frequencies we should use. And in Ben's case, it was a frequency of a deep muscle in his hip, and it told us that that muscle was too tight and there was a problem with it. We started giving him the sound, and, you know, he's getting up and he's walking, and Cassie's over in the corner running the audio, because Ben is going to do this as part of his dissertation project in the film department. Is that right, or is this
I'm thinking
thing?
About using some of this audio recording right now.
For all of us. So you were going to use what we did last night?
Last night is going to be in my personal doc, and this whole year I'm working on my thesis film, and then I definitely want to get into kind of like the science behind sound health, a little bit of the background and your background, and then case studies, of which mine could very well be one of.
We should have a double camera over here so we could take a picture of you saying all this stuff.
Yeah, get
over
here. You can move.
Cassie. We'll take a shot of you when we get finished. Cassie, you were over in the corner noticing. Can you come over closer to the phone and tell us what you notice about Ben? Because people really are asking. We do this show for entertainment, but we were doing something very serious with Ben.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get on camera.
I knew Ben. I don't know if I'm going to catch all the kids.
Here, I'll move over.
Here's the microphone. I knew Ben back in 2005 was when I first met him, and he had, you know, he's had this limp since he was 14, and I hadn't seen him move as fast as ever than the first time he came with you and did a tone when he was learning to become a practitioner, and he walked sideways, crisscrossing his feet behind him, and I knew that there was something to it, and then he didn't listen to his tones. And so that now when he came
Bad
back and he
Ben.
Did it again, like, it was the same thing. And I'm like, you know, his shoulders were relaxed. He could walk in a straight line. He didn't have his toe, he wasn't gripping with his toes for balance anymore. And after you kind of get used to, like, the sound of somebody walking. And I could tell when he was hearing the tones, he wasn't making that same sound anymore. He was in a more steady rhythm.
And it took his pain away.
Yes. Well, it lessened it. I think it's
a 3 to a 1.
Yeah.
I would say. Yeah.
It's not fake.
As long as it's going
down. And it's true, like, if it's a problem you've had for a really long time, it can take weeks, right, to fully get back up to where you should be. Is that right?
With the sound?
Yeah, with listening. How long does it take for somebody who's had, like, in Ben's case, for, you know, a decade or more, and listening to the sounds, how long do you think it would be before he doesn't limp anymore?
Without the sound, probably 6 or 7 weeks. Maybe if we have to regenerate nerves, maybe 6 or 7 weeks, sometimes months. We had one case of a Dr. Rudy that was in here with multiple sclerosis, and it took from, like, Thanksgiving time to the next May to regenerate his nerves from the waist down. Now, that's a long way, but it's impossible. By medical standards, it's impossible. So we're looking at one spot on Ben where the actual joint has deteriorated. So how much? I don't know. It took about 6 days to regenerate a tooth nerve of a trumpet player. They had done some dental surgery and damaged a part of his face, and his face was numb, and that's not good for a trumpet player. So it took about 6 days. And that's impossible, too. But that's the kind of stuff we do around here. But we don't want the FDA coming in and saying, oh, you're doing medical stuff. We're doing research. And we often say that if somebody gets well, that's their problem.
Exactly. And that's just something I wanted to bring up, because I think sometimes people see this, and if they think it's like, it's not like you listen to a sound and instantaneously you have no pain for the rest of your life. You do have to take these tones home and listen to them for a period of time.
Retrain the body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to do something stupid, it's going to be a lifetime. We had a lady came in, had lots of allergies and respiratory things, and she had an extreme allergy to creosote. And when she said, well, I live in a creosote house, and my parents gave it to me, I can't move. So she ended up building a glass house inside her creosote house. Which was kind of a strange way to live.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Sorry, but that's ridiculous.
But if she won't move out of that creosote house, she's going to constantly toxify herself. So it depends. It depends on how long they listen to the sound. And what we do here is the evaluation phase. The next phase is to look at formulations. What formulas, what frequencies, what brain waves should we give Ben back? And then the next step, give him the frequencies, try them out, and see what happens. If his pain goes away, that's good. If it increases his pain, that's bad. It's good for us because it tells us what to do. Was this your first time, too, all the way through?
Through seeing it? Well, I kind of experienced it myself a little bit, but, I didn't experience with tone back, but we found lead in my system really high, and I found out I was being poisoned from a piece of jewelry that I had on for a lot of years, and I slept in it, and I took showers in it, and once I took that piece of jewelry off, you know, a couple weeks later, I did another voice print. It wasn't there anymore. And, you know, a lot of my symptoms from, you know, low-level lead exposure were gone. Like, I could sleep better suddenly. And I'm like, there's something to this. So this is the first time I saw a tone.
We found that bioacoustically speaking, just the math, because this really is math as medicine, if you will go to your health food store and find something called ATP, adenosine triphosphate, that'll help get the rest of that lead out of your system. It binds with those toxic metals, so you might want to try that.
Yeah.
But who would think a piece of jewelry, you know? I mean,
Well,
lead glass, lead, there's lead and nickel and other toxins in paint. We had a lady about, a month ago, just came in like, you know, and her father drug her in. He was a doctor. Drug her in, I shouldn't say that. Brought her in. And she was very poisoned with nickel. And, where would you get nickel? We started looking it up because none of us knew. And it's in paint. Mm. And she had been taking handfuls of paint and painting with her hands and making these gorgeous, very large canvases.
Okay.
And they started chelating that nickel out. And I talked to her father the other day, and he said she just looks like a different person.
Wow.
So we can do very serious things, but we can do very entertaining things. Tonight we're going to do entertaining and serious.
Cassie's like...
One question, Sherry.
Yes, Ben.
Will the tones affect my cat if I play them on my speaker?
Well, the tones of if
my
you...
My cats are in the room sleeping in the bed with me. Will that be a bad thing for the cat?
Animals are a lot smarter than we are. They'll leave the room if they don't like the sound. And if they like you, they will probably like your sound. So, yes, animals are smarter than we are. Okay, we're doing all of this because we actually live in a frequency-based universe. Now, this is bioacoustically speaking, of course, and we have found that there is harmonic math music inside your body. And Brian Butterworth wrote a book about we are hardwired for math. And even little kids understand, newborns, Discovery Channel did a whole movie on this, about how children's brains are hardwired for math. Our DNA is based on math. So I decided to look at that, and when we started looking at the frequencies of water plus the frequency of oxygen, it equals water's what we call Q, which means that's what energizes it, and it equals estrogen and potassium cell salts, which is needed for us to go on as a human race. Nitrogen plus hydrogen, bioacoustic sound, equals nitric oxide, which is responsible for cell respiration, cell hormones, and oxytocin that starts the birthing process and the bonding process. There's more. Once I hit this again, there'll be another slide come up here. Even simpler thing, the frequency of water plus the frequency of nitrogen equals oxygen. Can you begin to see, you watch CSI where they put this little drop of something in this little centrifuge and it comes up on a spectrograph and, oh, that's fertilizer or that's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So in the beginning, here's these sounds, and these sounds mixing and bombarding each other like waveforms coming together. I think that's what started to create our physical domain. And when you look at this in bioacoustic terms, you can see how it created us from a very simple perspective of just giving us oxygen. So water minus nitrogen equals sulfur. Water minus oxygen equals hydrogen. Carbon dioxide, then chromium for blood sugar, then the adenosine triphosphate that I was just talking to Kathy about because that's the first chemical that's activated after conception. So many things going on. When you have two ears, about 4 to 6 inches apart, depending on how big your head is, so you actually hear things twice. You hear things because your ear is always an ounce away from the other.
Mm-hmm.
And just like when you're first born, you see two things. You see double vision, and your brain starts to bring that together. Same thing with your ears. The first thing it does is subtract the two sounds and give you that sound. Then it averages those two sounds, and it gives you that sound. So actually, it's four things happening together. Two primaries and then two other secondary notes. And I think the same kind of thing happened here as these sounds, these frequencies, begin to come together. And sound is just a frequency range. 14 cycles up to 20,000 cycles per second is how we hear. That mechanical energy hits your ear changes it into electrical chemical energy that's sent to the brain on your neural network that's all over your body. You have about 144,000 miles of nerve fibers. And if we took everything away from you except those nerve fibers, we could still identify you as Beth. They're that prominent. So on each one of these nerve pathways runs a frequency. And that all runs back to the brain, and everything happens there. So the ear takes in frequency that we call sound and sends it to the brain, and the brain says, it's in that range. I'm going to interpret that as auditory input. Touch is that way. Smell is that way. Emotions are that way. It's an octave. So we found a way to tap into those frequencies of your body and remanage them. That's how we're able to get Ben out of pain and help restructure tissue. The diagnostic part of it is an incredible, but I'm allowed to say diagnostic. the evaluation part of it. This is a phone appointment, which we do. If you call us up, we can do phone appointments. We had a lady call us this weekend. She was on thyroid medication, but nothing was working. And we were able to tell from her vocal print just exactly what was going on. Nothing was working because she had Hashimoto's, which is the body's immune system turning on itself where the thyroid gland is concerned. And in her case, it was wheat. So she's laid off wheat for 3 days. We'll see what's going to happen. But it's amazing to watch these numbers move together and to look at your health in terms of math. So we thought we'd share some of this. This is some of the things that you learn in class.
Yeah, but I've never been good at math.
Isn't this a neat concept, though?
It is.
That the frequency comes together. And one of the things that I think is going on, well, two things are going on. I think the public is ready. We've talked about this movie, The Secret, before, that it tells us that we can have anything we want. A new extended edition of the Secret, I'm reading this for the people just listening, in this groundbreaking feature-length movie presentation reveals the great secret of the universe. It's been passed throughout the ages, traveling through centuries to reach you. This is the secret to everything, the secret to ultimate joy, health, money, relationships, love, youth, everything you ever wanted. And it teaches you that it's your intention that you program yourself by your own thoughts, your own frequencies. You program yourself by your words. We have this words in, out your mouth, in your ear. That's the only dual system we have. You don't send out light and bring back light. But you make sounds and you bring in sounds. So you program yourself. But one of the things that The Secret left out and made a lot of people very angry, because you read some of the reviews and it says they have all these people up there that made it, and they never tell you how to really get there. They never tell you how to really go inside and know the correct thing for you. And that's what we think we can provide by looking at the nano voice. Because if Ben decides that he wants Cassie's house, and Cassie wants Cassie's house, who gets it? Is it whose intention is stronger? Well, one of them probably really doesn't want it. There's a better alternative. And if you take a vocal print, we could see whose vocal print is the most balanced by possession of that house. And that's what this can offer. It's going to start creating community, like minds, that each of us can touch that part of ourselves and become more authentic. And I think as a human race, that's what a lot of us want. Now, I don't think the big money companies want you to know yourself and know what's real and know what's real for them and know when they're telling the truth or when they aren't, but, you know, never know. So The Secret leads us to something else. All of this started from a very esoteric perspective. I could hear sounds coming out of people's ears. I was working in a speech and hearing department. And Dr. Fushi, the head of the department, said, "Sherry, don't say that. People think you're weird enough, and there's nothing in your ear to make a sound." About 2 years later, Johns Hopkins University found out, proved, that there is a sound coming out of your ear, and it's called an OTO, OTO acoustic emission. And they are now using that for diagnostic purposes. But that sound coming out of your ear is most of the time one, rarely two sounds. And we ran, well, we didn't run the studies, independent organization ran the studies. And when we take your vocal print, we look at 100,000 frequencies. The computer chooses 24 of that 100,000 to say, that's important. And when we did that and did the correlation with the otoacoustic emission, 100% of the time, that one sound coming out of your ear was one of those 24 sounds. So even though otoacoustic emissions are being used now by Yale and Medlars and all of these really prestigious medical communities, we are 24 times as effective. But this is not a big money-bundled, prestigious university. We are struggling here to get things together and to hold things together and to do this on our own and to hold this for the people. And by the way, for the person who donated the money for us to give scholarships away for people for some of our next classes, thank you from the bottom of my toes. That was wonderful. But I always wondered what was going on with me that I could hear these sounds and that I knew what the sounds meant. And then Sylvia Franck wrote a book, and all of you have heard about the Da Vinci Code and all of the information that the church tried to hide and all the Templar stuff that you've been researching and how the church tried to kill the Templar group. What were they called, that group?
They were an order.
Order. They tried to get rid of them. They massacred them because they held the information about health. And in the Templar cross, we have found is all the geometry for how to make the body well, and that's the kinds of frequencies that we give Ben and help him walk again without pain in an hour. So this is since he was 14, it's 16 years old, and so in an hour you turn that around or begin to turn that around. That's a miracle, and it's non-medicine by medical terms. But it really is medicine. I shouldn't say that. It really is affecting Ben, putting him back the way he should have been in the first place, supporting his optimal form.
Self-medicine.
Self-health.
Mm-hmm.
Idea of self-health. So Sylvia Franck wrote this book about the Tree of Life and the Holy Grail, and that's what they were looking for in the Da Vinci Code. And, you know, I always thought I was a little schizophrenic or weirdo to be able to hear these sounds and know what they meant. It gave me a heads up with people. If I listen, it'll tell me what's really going on. But she named some keepers of the Holy Grail, like Royal Rife and Wilhelm Reich and Rudolf Steiner and Alfred Tomatis. And she named Sherry Edwards. She named it this work. And then I understood. I've touched into something that is the Holy Grail of health. By these frequencies, the body really is math, and math is predictable, and I think this is a doorway to a new future for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm able to do it without feeling like I'm the oddball out, because Sylvia Franck allowed me to see that part of myself and allowed me to accept it. Because people would ask me things, well, do you think that guy is guilty? And I wouldn't know, but I'd hear myself answering. And it's guilty because he did this and this and he said this and this the way. I'm thinking, oh, my God, that sounds great. And I'd write it down, and I'd go back and listen again and check it out and ended up finding out that it was true. So I'm very happy. Sylvia and I have become friends since she wrote the book. But she says that very early on, Sherry Edwards saw that her work could provide a unifying field theory of subtle energy medicine. Postulates that vocal frequencies thought to emanate from living systems represent genetic coding, geographic locale, brain and neural function, biochemistry, emotion, physical structure, and environmental factors. She writes about what we do in such graceful terms, never taken our courses. I don't know if she's read any of our material, but what she wrote was new when she named us in her book that we're modern keepers of the Holy Grail. And that's what we do here at Sound Health. I put this, changing subjects drastically, I put this in here because we are going to do the drawing. And remember, those of you who want to be part of that drawing, just send us emails. And what we did was take all of your emails that you sent us, and we put your name on a little strip of paper, and we put it in this pot, and we're going to draw them next week. The little pot here?
For this camera.
Yeah, pull it over here.
For this camera?
For the people who see it. Yeah.
For the people who see it here? We put all the people's names in here. There's about 50 names in there of people who contacted us already.
And there's still time.
Yes, there's still
time. You have a whole week, so you can email us. We'll pop your name in there. Next week you can watch the show. We'll draw it out. Yeah, it could be
the 24th.
The 24th.
It's the 25th.
Yeah. It's the 25th.
So I've written that on YouTube. That was the Wednesday before the show.
Okay. We'll pull it next Thursday. So radio@vocalprofiling.com, or you could call us. We'll give the numbers at the end of the show again, and how people can contact us. And it's for a set of sonocards that gives you the notice C and all the muscles associated with it. It's amino acids, it's enzymes, so that you can begin to connect some of this when you do your nano voice. And we're talking about this nano voice program. If you're a new listener, go to nanovoice.org and download the program. Since we had this class last night, there's been a couple thousand more downloads. So there's about 13,000 downloads. We can't tell who's downloading it because we don't ask you for your name. We don't ask you for your email address. Nothing. This is a totally free piece of software. And we offer you a free class and a free manual. Now, I had a guy call me today, and he said, I just downloaded your software. I said, that's great. He said, well, how do I get it in my computer? Well, you click on the download. Okay, I'll do that. So 10 minutes later, he calls me back and he says, I just looked at the manual. Well, that's good. Do you want anything else? No, I just want to tell you I have the manual now. I mean, he must have called 10 times. He was so excited about what was going on. And he said, and I'm in a coffee shop, and there's lots of people standing around looking and seeing what we're doing. And so it's catching on. People are beginning to realize that if they take a sample of their voice, the voice really tells them things about themselves, real things. And although it's a printout, seven little checks of a button, and you get a printout. But the class we did last night told people how to go beyond that printout and really look at more. So this is just a reminder about the drawing that we're going to do. We're going to be talking about nano voice in just a minute. I have to hurry, because I want to get to this Roger Clemens stuff. We talk about the voice in terms of color, and we'll go over this again, that blue is feel, green is do, red is react, and yellow is think. If someone is making a statement of fact, it is yellow. If they're making a statement of accomplishment, it's green. A statement of emotion, it's blue. And a statement that they want it to be that way, or they're just reacting without thought, it'll be a red statement. So we also look at the degree of this, and forgive me for those of you who've heard this 100 times, but we have new listeners. We also look at how tall this is. About 42 is average. We take 500 hits. 20 is too low, and 80 is too high. So you look up here, and you look at the letter C, emotional issues, self-power. If someone's 80, they have a lot of self-power. They're probably a bully or a dynamic person. 42 is about normal, and they have 20 as their self-power. They probably are getting run over. So, and it's very topic-specific at the same time. For a lot of you, each of those notes mean a different color, and you can download this note correlate chart. You're probably sick of seeing it, what each of the note means. Go to our website, Nutrasound, N-U-T-R-A, N-U-T-R-A-Sound, that's plural, .com, and just download this chart. Okay, this is what Ben has been waiting for. He wanted to know if Roger Clemens really was guilty. Boy, that was not a smooth transition, was it?
That's all right. This is the meat.
Okay.
Sink your teeth in.
Kathy, you have the Roger Clemens statement.
Do you?
Okay. Beth is going to bring the phone over to Nathan.
And you just
go ahead and start.
What I've done for the game of baseball and as a person in my private life, what I've done, I don't get the benefit of doubt. The stuff that's being said is ridiculous. It's hogwash for people to even assume this. 24, 25 years, Mike, you'd think I'd get an inch of respect. An inch. How can you prove you're innocent? Apparently, you haven't done it yet. People I talk to say, come on. 45 years old, Impossible. Not impossible. You do it with hard work. Ask any of my teammates. Ask anybody that's come here and done the work with me. I was down here in 2001, and you were pitching to a guy by the name of... Well, Brian McNamee, that's right.
McNamee helped Clemens work out on and off for 10 years. Clemens is famous for his exhausting workouts. He's been called the hardest working man in throw business. But now he's been thrown by what McNamee told George Mitchell.
He gave very specific examples of the times he says that he injected you with steroids. During the 98 season, you were pitching for the Blue Jays. McNamee was their strength and conditioning coach. From the Mitchell Report, quote, Clemens approached McNamee and for the first time brought up the subject of using steroids. Clemens said that he was not able to inject himself, and he asked for McNamee's help. McNamee injected Clemens approximately four times in the buttocks over a several-week period with needles that Clemens provided. Each incident took place in Clemens' apartment. It never happened. Never
happened. Never happened. Never happened. Well, it did happen, according to his vocal friend. And he thinks he's justified. He thinks that because he gave and sacrificed for baseball, that he was doing the right thing. He never thought he would be caught. The judge did throw out Clemens suing McNamee last week. But what he was just saying there, what I've done for baseball, what they are saying is hogwash, and you think I would get an inch of respect, you wish someone... And what his printout says is you wish someone could understand you without demanding a lot of conversation. So this is a quote here. What I've done for baseball, you think I get an inch of respect. And then what it says, you here, trying to save room. This is what the computer said about him. Said a lot more, but this was the most pertinent statement. And you look at, again, what's been happening all along when people don't want to talk or when they're fibbing about something, E and A sharp does not match. And we know that 44 is normal, and his A sharp is 91, and his E is 12. Not only is the E just 12, but it's very short. It's yellow, which means a statement of fact, but his corresponding balancing note, A sharp, is green, accomplished. It doesn't even, it's like it's not in the same octave. It's not in the same key when the colors are off. So we've got green, accomplished, do something, but we've got the mental, I can justify it stuff, very, very uneven. Lots of blue here showing ego, especially in the note of C that represents ego. Now, when you jump from high C, 62 score, and remember, 40 is normal, he has a 62 score on emotional ego. He doesn't want to be talking about this, but he's kind of being forced to in some way. But he feels like he should not be questioned about this. And when you look at his truth and justice and at C-sharp, and his score there is 82, high, 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 but it's divided between statements of fact and statements of accomplished. So when he makes statements about things being fair and the way things ought to be, he's showing to tell the truth. But when he's saying it didn't happen, it didn't happen, that's not a truthful statement. And overall, this is not a truthful statement. But what I've done for baseball, he really thinks that he shouldn't be questioned here. He did his all for baseball. He gave his life. He gave his body. He gave his reputation for baseball. And people should not question him. That's his position. Now, he's not saying that position totally, but he thinks he's very justified in doing this. Topic, how can I prove I'm innocent? Now, this is just 54 phonemes, 54 bytes. How can you prove you're innocent? when you really haven't done anything and there's nothing to show what you've done, then how can you prove yourself innocent when somebody else is saying that you're guilty of it? I'm wondering why McNamee would even say it in the first place in this Mitchell report. Why would he say something like that if it wasn't true? Maybe we should get McNamee's voice. Think we could find that?
We could probably
go on. This is what the computer said about him. You quietly go about improving whatever comes into your view. You sometimes get abused because of your forgiving nature. He never thought his friend was going to rat him out. Never thought anybody was going to tell him. And we also have a notation here at the bottom. Where did you find this, Kathy?
CBSnews.com.
CBSnews.com. You just went to 60 Minutes and found it. But look at what we have here. These are statements of fact and statements of accomplished. This is somebody who's going to do what they say they're going to do because of all the yellow and the green in combination. But physically, there's an emotional component. G is the physical stuff. So there's a very emotional component of something that happened physically. I think there's one more here. Yes. This is where he said, it didn't happen, it didn't happen, it just didn't happen. You heard that on the end. The computer says, your sense of achievement is closely tied to emotional gratification more so than fortune or fame. And he didn't do it for fortune or fame. In his heart, he did this for baseball. For the reputation of it, because it's American, it's America, and he feels like he ought to be rewarded for what he's done. The means kind of justify the end kind of thing. Is he guilty? Yes, he is. And I think that will come out,
yeah,
that he is guilty. But when he says, it didn't happen, it just didn't happen. If that was true, all of these columns in this graph would be yellow. Statements of fact are yellow. So here's our statements of green. This is the dominant note of accomplishing something. I will stand behind my statement and nobody will ever know. This guy can say it forever, but nobody will ever know. I don't know how he's going to explain the hypodermics with his DNA on him, because you brought that up. Did you find that someplace? Can't remember.
I'm trying to think.
You know, we need to gather a file on all this and
Keep
it together. But when he's saying, didn't happen, just didn't happen, that's a spontaneous reaction. A lot of red here at a very gut level. Didn't happen, just didn't happen. I think he wishes McNamee hadn't told anybody. I think that's what he doesn't want to happen.
It was his DNA on one of the needles, and he denied it's his DNA.
So the guy came up and jabbed him, and
yeah.
The steroids that he took was testosterone and what was the other one? Growth hormone, which are natural to the body, but not in great abundance. You know, we have a project that we're working on to make people stronger with frequency. We don't know if people can see if that particular very natural substance that makes us strong is in the body. I don't know if we're going to get a test that by the biochemistry, but we've certainly been able to test it. We've got a little hand dynamometer, and we can give people these frequencies, and we can make them stronger. I'm wondering if a sports team would really like to look at that and run some reports with it. They wouldn't have to use the steroids, but, you know, sound or steroids, it's still something other than what the body should be doing, except I'm saying to myself, what we're providing is something natural, but so is the growth hormone, so is the testosterone, but just not in the amount. The chemical that I found is the difference in apes and humans of what makes an ape muscle much stronger pound for pound than humans. so we want to do some experiments with that. But from his vocal print, the man is guilty, but he thinks he's justified. Ben, any other questions about that? Because you wanted us to do this.
So then that sounds sad. Like, I grew up in the 80s with Martin McGuire and Roger the Rocket Clemens back when he was on Red Sox. Kind of a downer. I agree with Tony New Beckham.
Yeah.
Childhood hero. He wasn't, to be honest. You know, when you your role model. We're human.
What's bad about taking a natural steroid?
I guess it's because no one else is doing it. And it's like, almost like...
Ought to be equal.
Yeah, they have like coarse bats as a scandal. Sometimes they'll drill a hole in their bat and fill it with a lighter material. So it's, you know, it's trying to... I guess it's, you can understand it's their job. You get paid more if you have an advantage over your opponent. But
which is worse, Ben? Him taking the steroids or lying about it?
You'd think lying about it, but I don't know. I mean...
He feels like he sacrificed his body for baseball. Doesn't that count for something?
It kind of does.
Yeah, but it also gave him records that... It was like the Alex Rodriguez thing,
yeah.
You know? I mean,
it
the same thing.
Up.
They were talking about that this morning. Some of his best records were during the period that he was taking steroids. So would he have been so great if he were on his natural even keel like a lot of the other players? And it was somebody that was on TV, another baseball player that was talking. Well, yeah, but it was somebody else talking about it, somebody that's retired, like a big...
I'm not
a baseball person, or
someone
someone who's in the Baseball Hall of Fame and had been very close with Alex Rodriguez.
I think we're talking about Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
We have one of our audience members over here wiggling in the chair. Did you have something to say? No, you're going along with the conversation. Okay.
But yeah, and that was this guy's thing is, you know, should he be admitted into the Hall of Fame because, you know, his records are now obviously being questioned. And he was talking about that's the greatest thing is what a disappointment it is, you know, for the fans and to show them that, you know, you kind of have to cheat to get that good. You know, I mean, it really kind of, it depreciates the value of the person and what they can just naturally do with hard work and achievement. And
what if we use natural sound in training natural brain waves to make people their optimum? Is that cheating?
No, that's the best, because if you're making their optimum how they naturally are, you're not enhancing their natural.
So the enhancement, what you're arguing
with. That
means
to be is when someone's like, that's just cheating. Yeah. Adding on to your God-given ability.
Yeah, it's not like he's just working out nonstop and, you know, practicing nonstop. Would he have been as good without them? You know, you can work as hard as you can and get as good as you can, but you do have a limit, and that's when you're putting people's limits against each other.
You better make steroids legal for everybody.
Yeah, and then everybody could be on them, and whoever's the best on them could be the best.
Yeah, then you lose that whole natural.
Cassie, producer person, how much time do we have left?
Just a few minutes.
Four? Three?
It's 9:50.
Only 3 minutes. Okay, let's move on. Remember about 3-4 weeks ago when we had Blagojevich. I can't do it yet.
I love to hear you say that name.
And we said the guy is guilty, and it hadn't come out yet. Well, there's been Senate hearing, phone tap. Not only is he guilty, but Burris was in on it, and Burris knew about it from some of the things that's been released in the news the last couple of days. I think it was 3 weeks ago when we told you Burris knew that he wants to detach himself. He'll be a good guy, but he knew all along. And we have a really short thing here. See if we can get it on. And I ran the first part of it in a couple of times in the beginning.
I welcome the opportunity to go before any and all investigating bodies, including those referred by Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan, and the Senate Ethics Committee to answer any questions they had. In fact, earlier today, one of my advisors placed a call to the Sangamon County State's Attorney, John Schmidt, in an attempt to inform them that I welcome the opportunity to meet with him to review the facts in this matter and provide full and complete account of my actions, statements, and contacts. I look forward to sitting down with the federal officials and addressing this with them, and I support having any other body or agency look into my testimony as it was truthful and consistent. There was never any inappropriate conversation between me and anyone else, and I will answer any and all questions to get that point across.
If those were statements of fact, his vocal plant would be what color?
Yellow.
And it is pure blue. And I've got the little bowls there in front of another view. It's the only green that he has. And green is reaching out to the community, reaching out to other depths, reaching out to other dimensions. This is his accomplishment, reaching out, hoping that... What? Somebody said something. Do we have a color? Caller? Oh, wrap up. Earth is guilty. How's that?
It's a wrap.
And he's very emotionally upset about it, but he's very emotionally defending himself. He's not defending himself with facts. Thank you for joining us. Get your information into us about the drawing for the sets of sonar cards. And we're going to have another nano class. We had lots of fun doing it. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Seth and Don at BBS. Thank the crew here. We're signing off.